Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
We continue studying the warning that the Apostle Paul issued to the Colossian church. In Colossians 2:8, but of course it is obvious that the Holy Spirit of God intends for this warning to be issued to all of us, not just to the Colossians. Hence its inclusion in the New Testament scriptures. But here's what Paul wrote to the Colossians. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. And so this danger that anyone should, and that word cheat you, we've already explained, but it has the idea of take you captive, carry you away, plunder you, make you his prey, make you his trophy. There are teachers out there who are targeting Christians. They are targeting, in this case, the members of the Colossian church to try to pull them away from that church, to pull them away from that New Testament local church, to pull them away from the gospel that they had originally been taught and that brought them into union with Christ and brought them into membership in that Colossian church. But there are people who are trying to pull you away. They have targeted you as a potential captive for their group, their sect, their cult, their religion, their group. They're trying to pull you away from your church and make you a part of their heretical organization. Watch out. That was going on in Paul's day. That, my friends, is still going on in our day. And therefore, we'd better give careful attention to this warning verse, and we will continue studying it on this Tuesday, May 31, enabled by the financial gifts of you, our radio listeners. Well, as Paul went on in this verse, he gave a threefold analysis of this teaching to help us understand it better and to be better on guard against it. And he used the same prepositional phrase three times to describe three different aspects of this teaching. First of all, according to the tradition of men. A second, according to the basic principles of the world. And third, not according to Christ. And first of all, the source of this teaching, according to the Apostle Paul, is the tradition of men. I talked about that on the broadcast yesterday. There's nothing wrong with the word tradition. There's nothing wrong with the idea of something being handed down from one generation to another, handed down from one man to another. Or, of course, we're not saying that exclusive of women. We're using that word man in the broadest sense of the term. There's nothing wrong with that. That's not the problem, that something has been handed down, because frankly, folks, I trust that the gospel you believe has been handed down to you faithfully over the course of 2,000 years. If you're not believing the gospel that has been handed down to you and is 2,000 years old and is an ancient tradition, then you're believing the wrong gospel. Because the true gospel can be traced all the way back to Christ and the apostles. It is an ancient Christian tradition. But the problem is not that it is a tradition. The problem is, for this false teaching that Paul was warning about, is that it is the tradition of men. And again, that's not because there's no human element in the true gospel. There was, there is. Christ gave it to men, the apostles. The apostles passed it on to others, who passed it on to others, who passed it on to others. Commit these things, said Paul to Timothy, to faithful men who will teach others also. That is a biblical concept. That is what has been going down through many, many, many generations, now hundreds of generations. So what I believe about the gospel has been handed down to me as a tradition of men, but here's the difference. Where did the tradition originally begin? Is it sourced in men or a man, or is it ultimately sourced in God? And that's the difference. That's the difference. You want a message that, though it has been handed down by men, has been handed down faithfully by men who can trace it all the way back to Christ. It was originally taught by Christ. It originally came from God. And if you've got something that doesn't fit that description, it doesn't matter how old it is, how ancient it is, it may just be a very, very ancient heresy. Watch out. The source of false tradition is from men. So you've got to find out what is the ultimate source of this teaching. Not the intermediate source, but the ultimate source of this teaching. But we not only examine the source of false teaching, we also examine the contents of false teaching, because Paul secondly says, according to the basic principles of the world. The basic principles, that's an interesting word. It could be rendered rudiments, basic elements, and it literally means things in a row. That word, that Greek word, was used of letters in the alphabet. You've got, in the Greek language, 22 letters in a row that make up the Greek alphabet. The English alphabet has four more. We have 26 letters in a row that make up the English alphabet. Those are the rudiments of the English language, the basic elements of the English language. Every word that I read in English is made up of some combination of those 26 rudiments, those 26 basic elements. It was also used of musical notes in a scale. I don't know what the musical scale was like in Paul's day. I really don't know. But I know something about the musical scale in our day, and we're all familiar with it to some degree. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do. An eight-note musical scale. And, of course, we know there are half notes in there and so forth. Now, on a piano, you've got, I don't know, how many octaves? An octave, of course, is those eight notes that I'm talking about. Octave means eight. I've forgotten how many octaves. Seven? Eight? Some of you know. I used to know, but I've forgotten. But although they are on different pitches, it's the same eight notes repeated over and over. You start down at the bottom in a bass scale, and you go up eight notes, and then you start that same scale over again. It's just now, you know, one step higher, and you do it again, and then you start it over again. Again, now you're moving up to higher levels, but you're repeating the same notes, do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, over and over again. And all of the music that I listen to is all made up of those same rudiments, those same basic elements, those same notes on a musical scale. That's astounding. I suppose probably my favorite composer is Johann Sebastian Bach. If I had to pick one person in history, it is my absolute favorite. And I particularly like his piano concertos, and I'm especially drawn to those that involve two pianos or three pianos. And when I hear some of that music, where you've got two pianos playing Bach or three pianos playing Bach, and it was written that way originally, and you hear all those notes, they are incredible. It is incredible. I am just blown away every time I hear one of those pieces being skillfully performed, and to think that all of those notes are made up of the same rudiments, the same eight notes, and throw in the five half notes to go with it, the same 13 notes on a standard scale, just being used over and over again and combined in different ways, and there you have that incredible music. And so it goes. It could be used of the elements of the periodic chart. Do you remember that? Did you ever take chemistry? I remember sitting in chemistry class and looking at that chart on the wall that I was supposed to memorize, and I think I may have back in those days. It's been so long ago, where I had to know all of those elements. I think there were just a little over 100 of them. All those elements on the periodic chart, and to realize that everything in the world is made up of those basic elements. That's it. Out of all the complexity that you find in this world, you can reduce everything to some combination of those basic elements. Those are rudiments. Now, that's what Paul is talking about. He used that word here when he said, according to the basic principles of the world, the rudiments of the world, the ABCs, the building blocks, not of divine truth, unfortunately, but of the world. And what is that? Well, it can be all kinds of things. External rituals and ceremonies and the basic elements of ritualistic religion. An elaborate system of ancient rituals, regulations, secret knowledge combined to form a religion, a philosophy. And those who get bored with the Bible, I've noticed, are often drawn to ritual. And again, it's not that every ritual is wrong. There are biblical rituals. Every time I perform a baptism in my church, I am conducting a ritual. Every time we observe the Lord's table at our church, we are conducting a ritual. These are biblically prescribed rituals. And of course, there are a lot of other ones, but those are basic ones that all of you will, I think, immediately relate to and understand what I'm talking about. But I've noticed that sometimes people who seem to get bored with the Bible get drawn to forms of religion that are highly ritualistic. They've just got all kinds of rituals, pageants, things that are added to basic Christianity that appeal to certain interests that some people have. It seems to be something that certain personalities are drawn to. And if we're not careful, those things will replace Bible truth. They will replace sound doctrine. They will replace biblical Christianity. You've got to be careful. That's what Paul is talking about here. This false religion, this kind that will draw you away, that will make you somebody's trophy, that will pull you away from biblical Christianity and from a biblically sound local church and into some other group that has a false gospel, a false religion, sometimes it is attractive because of the elaborate rituals that seem to appeal to some people. Watch out. Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.